إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار Whenever the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم would go on an expedition, he would always take one of his wives with him. And on one of those expeditions, he took Aisha radiallahu anha with him. And on the way back, they camped outside of the city of Medina because the sunnah was that he would always enter Medina during the day as opposed to the night. When they camped outside of the city of Medina, Aisha radiallahu anha, she lost her necklace. And so she wandered around away from the camp looking for her necklace. And while she was away, the camp prepared to enter the city of Medina, forgetting her and leaving her behind. And when they left her behind, one of the companions, radiallahu anh, was also at the back of the camp, and he was also delayed, and he saw Aisha radiallahu anha on her own, and he brought her back to the city of Medina. And when Aisha radiallahu anha came back, unassuming anything evil was being said regarding her and her delay, she realized after a number of weeks that rumors had spread about her. And this incident is known as the incident of the ifk, or the slander against Aisha radiallahu anha. And this is a story which is well known from the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these rumors continue to circulate amongst the companions and amongst the people in Medina, and they were instigated and started by the munafiqun, by the hypocrites. And some of the companions fell into the mistake and fell into the error of also being involved in spreading some of these rumors. Eventually, after much distress upon the Muslims and especially upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself sent down and revealed ayat declaring the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. And these are the first few ayat of Surah An-Nur. And I want to talk today about one of the lessons that we can learn from this story, which is the importance of having husnul dhan, the importance of having good thoughts of each other, and being careful of su'ul dhan, having bad thoughts and being suspicious of others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sent down these ayat declaring the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha, He said in one of these ayat, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ, if only you had heard these slanders and these accusations, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا, if only when you had heard these accusations, when you had heard these things, the believing men and the believing women thought good of one another. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ, and they would say to each other, and if only they had told each other, this is a big slander, a clear lie, a clear accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha, Ummul Mu'mineen. One of the greatest harms of having bad thoughts of one another, brothers and sisters, is that it can cause distress, just like it caused Aisha radiallahu anha distress when she heard this slander against her. It affected her, It affected the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because it's one of his wives. It affected his family. It affected the family of Abu Bakr radiallahu an, and it affected the whole of the Muslim community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in this ayah the importance of having husnul dhan, having good thoughts of one another. And bad thoughts can end up being one of the major sins if an individual has bad thoughts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. One of the worst sins that a person can do, one of the greatest sins a person can do, is having bad thoughts of Allah azza wa jal himself. And that's when a person is experiencing some type of hardship or trial in his life, and he starts to show displeasure to Allah, or starts to question why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused this to happen to me. And he may even start to question Allah's power. Why didn't Allah save me from this? Why didn't Allah, the most powerful, save this harm and stop this happening in my life? Or a person makes dua and his dua isn't responded to. And so he starts to question the power of Allah, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the abilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person thinks along these lines, you're questioning the names and attributes of Allah. You're questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and Allah's knowledge. You're questioning things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala possesses and what makes him Rabbul Alameen. And when a person starts to question these things, a person's iman will decline. And when a person's iman starts to decline, he'll start to leave off acts of worship. And then you'll end up distancing yourself from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when a person has bad thoughts of Allah azza wa jal himself, it can be something detrimental and harmful to his iman, harmful to his faith, harmful to his life. And it's something which is from the greatest sins. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, during his time, whenever there would be beggars coming to him and his companions and his people in the city of Medina, his companions, and generally speaking, this is sometimes things that Muslims do, when beggars come and they ask for money, sometimes we'll say, Allah will provide for you. Allah will take care of you. When we don't want to give anything, we'll just say, Allah will take care of you, Allah will provide for you. But Imam Malik rahimahullah, whenever beggars would come to him, he would always make other excuses. He would always say other things. He would go out of his way to make up other things, to say other things, not to give money, without lying and without being untruthful. But he would never mention Allah's name. And whenever they asked him, or when they asked him, why do you do this? He said, because I don't want to mention Allah's name after not giving anything to them, and then they end up thinking badly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And this was the extent that the scholars would have of being careful about having husnul dhan of Allah, to the extent that they wouldn't even allow and they wouldn't even want others to think badly of Allah because of the things that they may say to them. When we reflect, brothers and sisters, on suspicion and su'ul dhan and how dangerous it can be, we look at the narration of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was said by Safiya radiallahu anha, the wife of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said that once I was with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we were walking during the night, and two companions passed by, and when they saw us, they started to walk faster. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he rushed to them and he said to them, "Ala rislikuma, innaha Safiya." Take it easy. This is Safiya who is with me. It's nobody else, it's my wife Safiya. And so the companion says, "Subhanallah, O Messenger of Allah, we never expected it to be anybody else. We wouldn't think anything bad of you. We wouldn't have bad thoughts of who you would be associated with." And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told them, "Inna shaytana yajri min bani Adam majra dam," that verily the shaytan runs in the body of the son of Adam like blood runs through his body. And I wanted to make sure that you wouldn't have any evil thoughts coming to you from shaitan. Meaning even the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam was aware of the dangers of a person having su'ul dhan or being suspicious of what he sees or being suspicious of things that he hears. And today, unfortunately, we live in a society where sometimes if we see something or if we hear someone say something, the first thing we think is something evil, meaning we become suspicious straight away of how a person behaves or what a person does, whether it's towards us or whether it's towards somebody else. We call somebody on their phone and they don't respond. And we call them a second time, they don't respond. We text them, they still don't answer our text messages. And we think to ourselves, if you're not going to answer my phone calls, at least respond to my text messages. And then we start to think he's got some kind of problem. He doesn't want to talk to me. He doesn't like me. We start to become suspicious. And the simple fact may be that he may have lost his phone. Or his phone may have been off. Or maybe he had other pressing needs. A person walks past somebody and he gives salam to him and he doesn't reply. And he thinks to himself, why didn't he reply to me? Why didn't he reply when I gave salam? You're supposed to reply when you give salam. Maybe he doesn't like me. Maybe he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. Maybe there's some issues there. And the simple fact may be that something else was preoccupying his mind so much that he never even heard you. And the list goes on. A person may not be invited to the walima, or an invitation, or a party. And he starts to think, why didn't that person invite me? And a person starts to become suspicious. A person starts to think of all kinds of things regarding why that person never invited me. Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Why did he say this? What did he intend when he said this? And we start to become suspicious of those people. And this is, as the Messenger of Allah has told us, and as I mentioned, it's something which shaitan breeds up in our minds. Because shaitan runs through our veins just like blood. And we start to think of all these different types of thoughts, these different suspicions. And it's reported also in the Sunnah that before the Messenger of Allah conquered Mecca, he prepared his army, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that somebody was going to inform the people of Mecca that they were on their way, because it was supposed to be a surprise attack. And so when they captured this individual, he was from the companions. He was a Muslim. And so the Messenger of Allah told him that this letter was found and it's signed by you. Did you intend to send this letter to the people of Mecca telling them of our arrival, that we were leaving and on our way to Mecca? And he said, yes. And some of the companions, they said, O Messenger of Allah, allow us to kill him and execute him right here. He's a munafiq. He's trying to tell them that we're on our way. And he would have spilled the beans. And so the Messenger of Allah asked him, why did you do this? And this companion, whose name was Hatib, he said, O Messenger of Allah, the only reason why I wanted to send this letter to Mecca was because I don't belong to any tribe in Mecca. I'm a muhajir, I came from Mecca. And I don't have any tribe that will support me and my family. And all my family are in Mecca and no one will support them. No one will take care of them. So I was hoping that if I send this letter to the Quraysh in Mecca, that because of this letter, they'll be good to my family members, they'll take care of my family members, because all of you, you have your tribes. And you have people who will take care of you and support you. And I don't have anybody. And so the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam told the companions, leave him, for verily he is speaking the truth. Even though in this situation a person would think this is somebody who's spilling the beans, he's somebody who's betraying the Muslims, he's somebody who's bringing the safety and the security of the Muslims into jeopardy. Yet even in this situation, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had husnul dhan of his companions. And he had good thoughts of the companions of his own. Another story which shows the importance of having husnul dhan, brothers and sisters, is of one of the companions who went by the name Abdullah. And this companion, he would always fall into the mistake of drinking alcohol. And each time he would drink alcohol, he would be brought to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ and he would be punished. And one day he was brought to the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام to be punished. And one of the companions, he said, لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ. May Allah curse him. He's always coming to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه all the time, for the same reason. And so the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه spoke and he said, لَا تَلْعَنْهُ. Don't curse him. فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. For verily, he loves Allah and his Messenger. So even when a companion or when companions would commit these sins, the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام would go out of his way to think good of them, to have good thoughts of them. And this is something which the companions did after them. And the scholars also, brothers and sisters, they would also have good thoughts of each other. There's a story of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, that when he was sick, a man came to him and he said to him, قَوَّ ضَعْفَكَ. May Allah strengthen your weakness, meaning may Allah make you better. And so Imam Shafi'i, he said, if Allah strengthens my weakness, then that's going to kill me. And so he said, I only intended good. I didn't actually mean that. And so Imam Shafi'i, he said, even if you had cursed me, I wouldn't have thought that you intended some kind of harm. But instead say, may Allah strengthen your strength and weakness your weakness. So even the companions, brothers and sisters, they would have, even the scholars, they would have good thoughts of one another. They would think good of each other. They wouldn't think badly of one another. Another one of the scholars of the past, he once told his students, he said, I said Alhamdulillah once, and because of my statement Alhamdulillah, I made lots of istighfar. And so they said, how can you make istighfar for saying Alhamdulillah? Saying Alhamdulillah is a good thing. And he told them that people came to me from my city, from my town, and they said there was a fire that took place in your town, destroying everything. Nothing remained, except for your shop, with your possessions. That's the only thing that survived. And so I said Alhamdulillah. And then I remembered and I realized the misfortune that befell the rest of the people in that town. And I felt bad and I felt guilty for thinking of myself and not thinking of other individuals. So I started to make istighfar because of this shortcoming, because I only thought about myself. The companions also, the scholars also, they would go out of their way to think good of others, even if a person was doing something haram. Once one of the scholars, he was sitting with his students, and a group of people came and they were singing and they were dancing. And so this scholar, he made dua and he said, oh Allah, give them happiness in the Akhirah just like they are happy now. Just like they are happy now, give them happiness in the Akhirah. And the people around him, they said, how can you make dua for these people when they're dancing and they're singing out on the street? And he told them, wouldn't you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them happiness in the Akhirah just like they are happy now? So we see from these stories, brothers and sisters, we see from these narrations that husnul dhan and good thoughts of one another is something which is encouraged in Islam. And it's something which if a person does, he relieves these bad thoughts from his mind. And it frees him from possibly doing things which may be haram. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الله سبحانه وتعالى he tells us in the Quran and warns us against suspicion and thinking badly of one another. And he tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Stay away from lots of suspicion. Stop being suspicious of each other. إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٌ. Verily, some suspicion is sinful. وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا. And don't spy on one another. وَلَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. And don't backbite one another. In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us the dangers of suspicion. And he warns us to stay away from suspicion and to stay away from su'udhan and bad thoughts of each other. And then he tells us to stay away from spying and from gossiping and backbiting. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention spying and gossiping after he talks about having bad thoughts and being suspicious of each other? The scholars, they say that when a person starts to become suspicious of someone, maybe someone is doing something. I heard this person smokes. I heard he drinks alcohol. I heard he's going out with this individual. A person will start to go out of his way to see if he's right. And he may end up spying on that person. He'll start to follow that person wherever he goes just to see whether his suspicions were true. And that person, when he's on his own and he's being followed, no doubt he's going to fall into some type of haram. In fact, a person with iman, a person with faith, will commit sins in private because he knows they're sins. He knows it's something which is haram. And so when someone accompanies somebody and that person is unknowing to this hidden company and he starts to commit sins, that person will see him committing those sins, and then he'll go after spying on him, which Allah has forbidden us from in this ayah, and he'll start to gossip about him to others. So we see, brothers and sisters, the effects of having su'udhan. You may end up seeing someone doing something haram as a result of you spying on him, which Allah has forbidden, and then you may end up gossiping to others about what you saw. And so we see the dangers of how su'udhan can end up becoming not just suspicion, but a reason for a person committing lots of sins. A reason for a person committing multiple sins just for him having this simple suspicion. One of the ways that a person can rid himself of having this suspicion is by making sure and ensuring that whenever he hears something evil about somebody, whenever he hears something bad about somebody, instead of contributing and, you know, increasing the suspicion and talking more about that person in a negative way, instead of doing that, making dua for that person, supplicating for him. And this is why the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam told us that when a person covers and conceals the faults of a Muslim in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will conceal his sins and conceal his faults on the Day of Judgment. And also, when a person hears somebody having su'udhan of another individual in his company, in his presence, he should protect him and say good things about him. Make excuses for him. Maybe he said those things because he was stressed about something else. Maybe he never gave salam to you or never spoke to you because he's preoccupied with something. Maybe he never came round because he has guests coming round his house. Making excuses for your brothers is something which actually increases the love that you might have for each other. And this is why one of the scholars, he said that if something reaches you about your Muslim brother or sister, then come up with some kind of excuse. And if you can't come up with some kind of excuse, then say maybe he has some excuse. Maybe he has a reason to do why he did. Even if you can't come up with something specific, just make something up. When a person has good thoughts of his Muslim brothers and sisters, it's a way of him relieving the stress and the hatred and the anger from his heart. Because one of the reasons why a person will become suspicious of somebody is because of preconceived notions or things which happened previously between you and them. Maybe something happened, maybe you never got along, maybe there was a business deal that went bad, maybe you had an argument, whatever the case may be. Something happened between you and them, and then later in your life, further down the line, you hear something about that person, and because of those bad experiences that you had, you start to make suspicions and start to have evil thoughts and bad thoughts of that person. Because of the way you feel about that individual, because of those evil feelings that you have, because of the conflict that you had in the past. And so when a person instead has good thoughts of a person, it relieves him and removes that hatred he may have from his heart. And also, when a person has good thoughts, brothers and sisters, a person becomes just. And you start to see things clearer. You start to become just with regards to what a person said and what a person did. There's no preconceived notions about how a person behaved based on the way he's dealt with you previously and what he did. And so I'd like to remind myself and every single one of us of the dangers of having su'ul dhan and having bad thoughts of one another. And how in fact, having good thoughts of each other will increase the love and the brotherhood between us. We're living in a time where Muslims need to remain united and we need to support one another. We're living in a time where people are attacking us from left and right and from all over regarding any single issue that they can find. And so it's important for us to stick together, to support one another. Because if we don't support our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters and think good of each other, then when non-Muslims start to accuse Muslims of something, straight away we'll agree with them. We won't even want to defend our Muslim brothers and sisters because we were already suspicious of them. We already had su'ul dhan of them. We already had bad thoughts of them. So when we think good of one another, brothers and sisters, it strengthens the community. It makes us better. It makes us stronger. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He removes this illness of su'ul dhan from our hearts and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthens our communities and strengthens us as an ummah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أعلى وأولى وأكبر والله يعلم ما تسمعون.